This first verse of this marvelous hymn which we sang, "Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus," brought to my mind something that I try to communicate to you every Lord's Day, but which I can never communicate to you. I can communicate to you with my mouth to your ear, but what I cannot do is communicate to you from my heart to your heart. Only the Holy Spirit of God can do that. And when I say from my heart to your heart, I have in mind particularly the wooings and the stirrings and the movings of God the Holy Spirit within the heart. Now, if you do not know that, if you do not know the wooings and the stirrings and the movings, the tangible actions of the Holy Spirit within your heart, then I dare say that you are probably a stranger to the grace of God. And this is always the task of preaching, to be a medium through which God the Holy Spirit would communicate not mouth to ear or mind to mind, but heart to heart. The hymn describes it this way: "Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me." Do you know that? Do you know that? Do you know the rolling power of God the Holy Spirit in the heart? Now, the Scriptures describe it in various ways. It is indeed like a rolling ocean within. In fact, there are numerous water metaphors which the Lord Jesus himself used to describe this effervescent force of the Holy Spirit in the soul. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, "He that believeth on me, as the Scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." He said to the woman at the well, "He who believes in me shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be a well of water springing up into everlasting life." This is how I experience Christ, through the Holy Spirit of God, like an ocean, like a spring, like a river, rolling and flowing in my soul. Do you know that? Solomon described his affections for the Shunammite as the rolling wheels of the chariots of Abinadab. Now, is there a chariot in your soul that, like Jehu's, driveth furiously? Do the hoofbeats of heaven, swift and beautiful, ride your heart? Jeremiah described it as a fire shut up in his bones that could not be extinguished. Solomon also described it as a fire which could not be quenched by all the waters of the world. Does your soul roll like an ocean, rumble like a chariot, and burn like an inextinguishable, all-consuming fire? Well, not always do we so roll with the Spirit of God like the oceans, or rumble with the Spirit of God like the chariot, or burn with the Spirit of God like the fire. But if we are children of God, we do from time to time roll and rumble and flow with the graces of the Holy Spirit. And when I preach, it is always heaven's intent, though it may escape my mind and purpose sometimes, that your hearts should be thus stirred by the working of the Holy Spirit of God. And I reiterate, if your faith is merely cerebral, psychological, emotional, existential, as opposed to an internal, tangible, powerful presence of the Holy Spirit of God, you may be a stranger to God's grace. Now, dear church, this is how I get my sermons as well. And I hope that you experience this when you read your Bibles. When you open the sacred page and yet beyond it, you feel the mighty rolling of the ocean of God's Spirit in your soul. There wells up within you the flowing, full fountain of the Holy Ghost as you read God's Word. And the burning passions and thundering chariots of Christ's graces by the Holy Spirit rumble through your soul. I hope you know that. I hope you know that. And if you don't, I fear for your soul. Now, I had such an experience this week in reading this story of blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10, verse 46. But the way I experienced it was not the way that I would have thought I would have experienced this fullness of the Lord. And probably not the way you would suspect that I would have experienced it. Indeed, it is a magnificent thing when we read about this poor blind beggar, by the way, who cries out for the Son of God, who is heard by the Son of God, who is healed by the Son of God, and who is saved by the Son of God. And we shall look at that aspect of the text. But something very different caught my eye about this text that I had never seen before. And perhaps this is the thing which the Spirit of God would stir in your soul this morning. And that is, there was not merely a transformation in Bartimaeus's physical and spiritual vision on this day, but there was, in fact, a profound transformation in the disciples of Jesus and in the great throng which accompanied Jesus and his disciples. And I want you to note particularly this transformation, not only in Bartimaeus, which we shall talk about, but more especially in the crowd on this day. Now we see in verse 46 that they came into Jericho, and apparently staying there for a very short time, Jesus proceeded out of Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd. And as they were proceeding out of Jericho, we note that Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was blind, begging, and sitting by the way. Now, I want you to meditate for just a moment on those three aspects of Bartimaeus' life. And as we meditate, may the Spirit of God be pleased to move your soul, especially if you are like Bartimaeus, blind, begging, and by the way. Bartimaeus, as such, is a fit type of all sinners. We understand by the teaching of the Apostle Paul that human beings are natively and naturally blind. In Romans chapter 3, Paul says that human beings have no fear of God before their eyes. And in 2 Corinthians 4, he explains to us why. Because the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We are blind by nature as sinners. We cannot see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God, who hung all the stars in the universe, who beckons the radiant sun daily and hangs it high and blinding in the heavens. God, who bedecks the evening with the diamonds of stars. God, who Himself is described as a consuming fire, a burning and shining light, the fullness of whose radiance has illuminated the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that He is not only the bright and morning star, but also the very Son of Righteousness, who has risen with healing in His wings, whom when John saw, he fell before His feet as one dead, unable to look into the sun-drenched and star-filled hands of the Son of God, but burn bright as God Almighty burns. Burn bright as the Son of God may burn, brighter than the heavens, day or night. Sinners are blind to the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. They are like Bartimaeus. They cannot see. If you remember, the Lord Jesus spoke to Nicodemus about this. And he said, Nicodemus, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And dear friend, I dare say, if this fullness of God's ocean rolling sweetly in your soul, this thundering chariot of grace, these swift hoofbeats of love's chariots are not discernible within your breast, it is because you're not born again of the Spirit of God. And like Bartimaeus, are, by the way, blind to the radiant graces of heaven. Bartimaeus was not only blind, but he was a beggar as well. Now, we do not like to cast ourselves in the caricature of blindness, and we surely do not like to cast ourselves in the role of a beggar. But you know that not only are all sinners blind, but ultimately all sinners are beggars. They have nothing. We sing about this when we say, "In my hand no price I bring." And in fact, what the grace of God offers cannot be bought for money, not for silver, not for gold, not by baptism, not by dedication, not by reformation, not by intention. What God has, no beggar can buy, though he had the wealth of Hearst, Trump, and Hughes. You buy the grace of God without money and without price. An irony, I know. Bartimaeus was a beggar. But this tells us something about this man. I don't know about you, but I can't drive by beggar in Dallas without being troubled. Now, I seldom, if ever, give them anything because there is so much drug abuse and manipulation by our public, and there are agencies and churches which provide things. But when I see a beggar on the side of the road, I'm always stirred by what I see. Because here you have a person who not only has passionate desire manifested by the extended hand and calling voice. Here's a person who's been stripped practically of all self-esteem and human dignity. And none of us want to be there. But I tell you, dear friend, if you would know the grace of God in Christ Jesus, you best strip yourself. You best strip yourself of all self-consideration. You'd better strip yourself of all consideration of others. You'd better strip yourself naked before the Almighty and come to this realization that the best we are is a beggar before God. We have nothing with which to purchase the grace of God. Now, a third thing about Bartimaeus, we often forget. We know that he was a blind man and that he was a beggar, but we forget this aspect of the text. He was blind and he was begging, but he was also by the road. A blind beggar by the road. Now, if we visualize this text, we see the Lord Jesus Christ coming down the road, surrounded by the 12, and not only them, but apparently, according to the text, a large throng of people. This road was filled with people, and there was a beggar thereon. A dear friend, every road you walk is a road where a beggar waits. Parker Road is full of beggars. Jupiter Road is full of beggars. Central Expressway is full of beggars. 635, every lane, street, drive, cul-de-sac, state, interstate, highway, or farm road is full of beggars. The road to your family is full of blind beggars. The road to your job is full of blind beggars. The road to your friends is full of blind beggars by the way. And what we shall see in this text was this throng multitude proceeding down the road with the Lord Jesus Christ, themselves blind. As we are blind on the road we travel, to those beggars everywhere. Now, if you'll note, in verse 47, Bartimaeus had already heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. And here, H-E-R-E, we hear, H-E-A-R, the sinner's cry. Now, if you would know the Lord Jesus Christ, not only must you acknowledge yourself a blind beggar by the way, but also you must learn the cry of Bartimaeus. And note what is the nature of this cry. The scriptures say, he began to cry and say, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, in the Greek, the verb is twofold. He began to cry. And this verb, to cry, signifies not weeping, but a passionate vociferation of the voice. Very much like that day when the Lord Jesus Christ at the great feast stood and cried. No doubt this multitude was loud, a din of noise. And in the midst of it, the loud cry of a beggar. The strength and force of his cry signifies the passion within his soul, the purpose that Christ would hear him, the determination and the persistence that I shall cry out to Jesus Christ, the Son of David, loudly, passionately, and forcefully, that He will hear me. Not only is His cry a loud, determined, and passionate cry, but it's a perpetual cry. This verb is an infinitive. Bartimaeus didn't just say once, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." This was a cry that echoed over and over again. And let the sinner who would claim Christ know this, that the passionate cry that seeks the Lord Jesus Christ is a cry that will not be silenced, but will reverberate over and over and over again until it arrests the ear of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And if you would summon Christ as Bartimaeus, cry to the Son of God. No doubt this word means more than loudness and persistence. It also has deep emotional connotations. When was the loudest you ever cried out? I do not mean as a child, when a child cries, but as someone whose heart is summoned by the Spirit of God in conversion, whose heart is stirred by the workings of the Spirit in sanctification, or whose life is pressed, as Paul's was pressed, out of measure like one racked and tortured on the pangs of circumstances. The day that I learned Judy had cancer, I could scarce contain myself getting through the front of the hospital to the automobile. Convulsively, as I've never wept before except on two occasions. The occasion of my conversion and the occasion of my call to the ministry. When you cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, if it is a cry that is summoned by heaven, it is no whimper of the soul. It's no casual calling to receive Christ. It is the rumbling of the chariot and the roaring of the ocean. What is that conversion that is rational and cool and casual, but no conversion at all? That conversion that comes from God Almighty in heaven is the very descent of the fullness of the power of God in the soul of the sinner so that like Bartimaeus, he rises, blind though he is, beggar though he is, by the way though he is, like Bartimaeus, the soul rises, cries out not only with loudness, but also with great and deep emotions, because Jesus of Nazareth is near. If you have not known that depth and power of the working of the Holy Spirit in your soul, you may be a stranger to the grace of God. This cry was also a cry that recognized Jesus Christ as the Messiah. The soul stirred to call Jesus is the soul enlightened to know who He is. We do not have to be beggars when we summon the souls of men to come to Christ. For we are princes and princesses, children of a great King who's walking down every road of life. Even the Messiah, the Son of David, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The beggar, by the way, though blind, summoned by the arrival of the King, is one whose passionate cry recognizes that the Almighty God is here before him. The writer of Hebrews tells us that we can come boldly under the throne of grace and find grace to help in time of need. Why? What would this poor beggar ask of the Savior? What would this poor blind man ask of the Savior? Why? Everything. 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 And then note what happens in verse 48. You can translate it two or three ways. They forbade him greatly. They rebuked him sharply. They much commanded him, be quiet. Now, do you see the blindness here in this crowd? And isn't that a commentary on our carelessness and casualness about beggars, blind, and by the way? Now, these people may not have been maliciously discriminatory to Bartimaeus. They might have been, with good intent, seeking to clear the way for the Lord Jesus Christ and to quiet this man so that the voice of the Son of God might be heard. But they were blind to the purpose of God. Sinners are never in the way where Jesus is. They are never obstacles to His path or impediments to His purpose. They are always on golden streets. And let us be aware that when we meet blind beggars by the way, that the Son of God is there. And our casualness and carelessness not to see God's purposes in those moments is very much like the casualness and carelessness of this crowd. Be quiet, Bartimaeus. And what does he do? His cry is also an indomitable cry. Occasionally I get a phone call from a fellow in New York whom I have quit returning his calls. Because he is one of those whom Paul characterizes as ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. He is lost, 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 lost. And I think he wants to be lost, 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 lost. His cry for the Son of God is an ineffectual cry. And therefore I question its genuineness. The cry of the soul who has truly heard that Jesus is coming is not merely passionate and loud, but it is indomitable. It is like Jacob wrestling with the angel who says, I will not let thee go until thou bless me. As Jesus said, God will avenge his own elect who cry to him day and night. He cried out the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And note what happens. And again, get this picture. A moving throng, a loud throng with Jesus in the midst and Bartimaeus. By the way, Jesus stops. Now, God tells our souls, peace, be still. Be still and know that I am God. But what when heaven says to every winging angel, be still, fold thy wings. When heaven says to every blaring trumpet, silence. When heaven commands the elders, praising before the throne, hold your tongues. When heaven seizes the winds of the earth and the motions of the stars and says, stop. There's a sinner in the way. And the Son of God stands still. When God saved you, Jesus stopped by your way, on your road, opened your eyes, heard your cry. Thus, the cry of Bartimaeus is an effectual cry which arrests the ear of the Son of God and causes his sweet feet to stop. But here is what got my heart about this text. Do you see how Jesus responds to Bartimaeus' cry? He doesn't address Bartimaeus. Whom does Jesus address? Why? The disciples and the throng. Verse 49, Jesus stopped and said, call him. Call him. Now we do not know if the Lord Jesus Christ remarked to Peter, or to James, or to John, or to all the 12, or to one in the great throng around him. But whatever Jesus did, it apparently metamorphosed the moment. And whether the disciples or the throng, whoever had been telling this beggar, be quiet, suddenly there was a change in the cognizance and the purpose of those who had been forbidding Bartimaeus. And we need thus to be metamorphosed, don't we? We need to have our senses and spirits awakened to the purposes of Jesus on the roads of our lives as it relates to sinners, by the way. And here, Jesus' voice, in response to their voice, speak to us. and say, call it. Call it. Now, what a blessed response this disciple or these disciples or this crowd manifests in reaction to Jesus' word. Note what they say to this blind one, verse 49. Three things. First, Pharisai. Pharisai. I hesitate to say this because it's humorous and this is such a serious message. But very possibly this is where the author of Tarzan gets the name. Because in the infinitive, Tarzan or Tharzine means to have great courage. And let every blind beggar by the way hear the voice of Jesus' disciples and this crowd this morning. Jesus, through us, is saying to you, take courage. Now, what better words could come from the mouths of Christ's church to the desperate and passionate heart of the crying sinner than this? Take courage. The word courage is close to the word rage and does indicate a great and mighty power and force of emotion. And this should be the power of the gospel to every seeking soul. The grace of God is equal to, yea, greater than your desperation. Take courage. Take courage. And may this be a word of consolation and exhortation to all of us this day, sinner or saint. Jesus says to us through His church, take courage. Take courage. Take courage. And then, rise up. Rise up. Rise up. And then finally, the sweetest of all, He calls you. Isn't this magnificently and surpassingly glorious? Jesus' voice was not directed to the disciples or to the throng, yet through them, it was singularly focused on one individual, Bartimaeus. And what must that desperate, blind, poor, destitute beggar have not thought? When this voice came to him and said, take courage, rise up, behold, He calleth you. If you know the grace of God, one day, some minister of the gospel, some Christian friend or family member, some radio preacher, some tract, or maybe the gracious Holy Spirit in your study of the Bible came to you and said, take courage. Rise up. Behold, He calleth you. And thus silenced your cry and your call as you heard His. Let us not forget that it is our responsibility to say to beggars, by the way, take courage. Rise up. He calls you. Now, I want you to note the response of Bartimaeus, and I will conclude the message. When Bartimaeus heard this word, we have what literary critics call kinetic action. Now, this is a kinetic moment, and the Gospel of Mark is a intensely kinetic gospel. In fact, it's the most kinetic of all the gospels. The Gospel of Mark is a vorticist gospel. It's the most moving, the most active of all the gospels. Everywhere Jesus goes, he's in a whirlwind of activity. Thus as this throng was here. But now they had stopped, and all the motion and power of Jesus' entourage, as it were, is suddenly invested in the response of Bartimaeus. And what does he do? He leaps up and throws off his garment, coming to the Son of God. Now, I don't think that there's metaphorical purpose in Mark's pen in this passage, but I do know this, that when Bartimaeus takes off his garment, it is at least an illustration of what you must do if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to disrobe yourself of the old man. In fact, the Scriptures speak in this language. Take off the old man and put on the new. And when you have cried out to God, as Bartimaeus has cried out to God, and when you have been personally summoned by Christ, as Bartimaeus was personally summoned, you will not say, I like these clothes. No. You will, in the blink of an eye, at the speed of light, shed like a butterfly, a cocoon. The old beggar's rags, and say to your Lord, clothe me in your righteousness and grace. And note also, not only did he shed his garment quickly, but also the Scriptures say that he sprang up. We have the roles reversed in our generation. It's the preacher who's doing all the springing and dancing in the pulpits today, and the begging. Begging, 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 begging. You need not beg that soul that has been beckoned by grace, for the soul beckoned by grace is a soul of swift feet and quick heart to move to the Savior. He cast off his robe, he springs up and comes to Jesus. Jesus addresses him and says, what will you that I should do? What will you that I should do? And one of the most touching passages in all of Holy Writ, Jesus said, or Bartimaeus said, Rabbi, teacher, that I may see. What horrible and ignoble, wicked things Benny Hinn and people like him are doing to the sick, the destitute, and even the terminally ill in our generation. By deceiving them into believing with false hopes and psychosomatic suggestion that they are like Jesus Christ and the apostles. Only the Son of God and those to whom he sovereignly delegates truth and power like unto his have the power to make blind men see. And notice what our sweet Lord says to him. Okay. Okay. Not okay, your eyes are healed, though that was part of the blessing. And by the way, this is something true about the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. The miracle is always secondary to a greater purpose. The miracle is always secondary to the message. Okay, Bartimaeus. Okay. Go your way. Your faith has saved you. And straightway, he saw. and followed him. What a glorious thing when a blind beggar, by the way, cries out with passionate, determined, emotional, and indomitable cry for Jesus Christ, the Son of God. How much more wonderful than when the Son of God stops and commissions someone, go call him. How blessed when the beggar hears, take courage. Get up. He's calling you. And how much more blessed yet when Jesus asks, what would you that I should do for you? And then by his omnipotence, he imparts to you not merely the blessing of physical vision, but the blessing of spiritual vision, the blessing of faith in Jesus, the Son of David, and says to you, go your way. And I would that I could do this for you this morning, that I could say, go your way. Your faith has saved you. I cannot. I can say it, but I cannot do it. I can say it, but I cannot make it real to your soul. I can say it, but I cannot effect it in you. But God can, Jesus can, and Jesus does. So if you're a blind beggar, by the way, take courage. For Jesus, too, can say to thee, go your way. Your faith has saved you. May we stand together. Michael. Find some beggar by the road. Find some beggar by the road.